Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, welcome back to the UK.
Hello, Chris. I arrived back in the UK last night at 8 o'clock, went straight to a radio show at 10 o'clock, and now I'm here.
You're a busy boy. If you could summarise your trip to America in one word, what would that word be?
Cold, quite cold. We were in Canada.
Oh dear.
And we were in Chicago. I went up to Milwaukee. I thought, I've never been to Milwaukee before. Let's see what Milwaukee has to offer. And weirdly, their catchphrase, all the people of Milwaukee, the Milwaukeeans, their favourite catchphrase is, "What are you doing in Milwaukee?" Very low self-esteem. The people of Milwaukee. They have no idea why you would possibly want to visit. But it was a lovely part of the world, and I want to visit again.
One of my favourite YouTube channels, Red Letter Media, who do like commentaries on movies like Star Wars, they're based there.
Right.
And that's all I know about Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's good to have you back. Hope you had a good time in America.
What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I've been looking for our Abroad Japan podcast folder, which is always jam full of interesting comments and stories from you guys. But above all, there's also a lot of spam emails. We get so much spam in there. And I thought I'd read a few of them out because they're so bloody brilliant.
Well,
My first one.
This is an email address that's only existed for about a year. Well, over a year. So, like, fair play for the spammers to figure out that it's a good receptacle for their trash.
Yeah, and I'm giving them free promotion right now on this podcast. Ridiculous. Mm. But, I guess because our email address is all over the internet. People just spam it with loads of stuff. We've got one here that says, "Dear friend," which I think is a bit of an assumption. "We are a club on Paris, London, Miami, and Berlin. We are swinger club lover. We have members age 18 to 95.
Wow.
Don't swingers need to be older than that? Swingers 18 to 95 with 146 members. We're looking now for members of our club. Do you like love people? Join with us. No money and no card. Log on to our YouTube channel." And there's a precarious link to a YouTube channel below that I will not be clicking on anytime soon.
Did Natsuki write this?
To be fair, I think that even Natsuki's English is better than this.
Well, what I like about it is they've got 146 members. And that is spread across 4 different gigantic cities. So I don't think they're doing quite well. It's no wonder that they're just having to scatter good people's email addresses. So, like, 146, you know, what's that, like, 25 to 35 per location. They're mostly going to be blokes. So, yeah.
I mean,
poor guy who's trying to spread his wings.
What is it? What even is this? There's like no description as to what this swinger club is. It's just over like 4 or 5 cities, 146 members, but it doesn't elaborate on anything. Either way, I won't be clicking on that link. Be careful if you get that message about the the Swinger Club.
We've
got another one
out there
from Joseph Desana. He says, "Dear Sir, Madam, my name is Joseph Desana. I and my partners are interested in investing some money in your country, my country. For this purpose, we require an overseas partner who would oversee the investment on our behalf. The investment fund is $66.5 million, and we are willing to part with 10% of the investment funds for your participation. They're willing to give us 10% of $66 million. That's like $6 million. Just for managing this fund. It's amazing. Please send a reply to DesanaJ@yahoo.com as soon as possible so we can discuss modalities that would enhance success. Thank you, Mr. Joseph Desana." What do you reckon on that, Pete? Should we do it?
Well, Joseph Desana. Desana just reminds me of that drink. Remember Dansani? It was like a, I think it was a water brand.
I do.
That Pepsi
the Coca-Cola drink.
Was it Coca-Cola? Yeah, Coca-Cola brought a water brand.
And out of
it
a tap.
And it was proved to have been just taken out of a tap, and there was nary a spring found. I think that was the case. Anyway, I don't want to get into any legal difficulties. I've had a difficult week with PewDiePie supporters, to be fair. But I do remember Dansani. Joseph Desana, beautiful name. I will not be getting involved in your, 10% investment on $66.5 million. But, maybe out there is a man or woman willing to give us that amount of money for nothing.
You never know, do you? You never know unless you reply.
You never know, exactly.
But we won't be replying.
Okay.
And our last one is from Tanjay, and he says, "Hello, sir. Ooh. Permit me to introduce to you a business idea I guarantee will be of immense benefit to the both of us. Please reply for more details. Regards, Tanjay."
Tanjay.
Didn't really elaborate on what that idea is. And again, probably won't be replying.
It's not a bumper crop this week, is it, of spam emails?
No. But the only reason I go through there is we do get a lot of people's messages. A lot of you guys, for some reason, your messages end up in spam. So I go through there just to trawl through and see if any have accidentally gone in there, because I'm a nice person. Anyway, today, I am nice. Today, hidden spots in Tokyo, often requested. Everybody wants to know the hidden spots. Every day I receive 400 or 500 messages from people asking me to tell them the secret hidden spots that nobody knows. And whilst the spots on this list aren't necessarily hidden, they're kind of places that most tourists might not go to. You know, they're outside of the usual places. Mm. Although some of them are actually in places like Shibuya, popular hotspots, but they're kind of buried away in buildings. And so I think you've been to at least 4 or 5 of the places on this list. I put the word out on Twitter. So some of these places are from Twitter. Some of them you guys sent in via email, and some of them are my own and Pete's. And the first one, out of 12, is Shibuya Niku Yokucho. Now, Niku means meat, Yokucho means market. Mm. And we went there when you were here in June, didn't we, Pete? Do you remember what Niku Yokucho was like?
Was that the one that it was... was that the one where we had spam? Oh, was that the old school place that where we had a lot of spam?
You're not selling it. You're not selling it with spam.
Corned beef.
I think there was corned beef. It's about five minutes from Shibuya Scramble Crossing, and it's on the second story of this building, the Chitose Kaikan building. But if you want to know where it is, just look up Niku Yokucho. Mm. And basically, it's like 25 different restaurants, all covering meat dishes. And you go in, and it's kind of like open plan, right? Do you remember? It was an open plan,
lots of restaurants
everywhere. But if you like barbecue or yakitori grilled chicken, I think there's Korean food. I remember we went to a Thai restaurant. With spam. But it's a great place to just kind of go out for dinner. And even though like thousands of foreign tourists walk past it every single day, not many people go in there. I think we were the only foreigners in there when we went, just by virtue of the fact it is hidden away. It's tucked away on the second or third story.
You wouldn't know it was up there. And also, like, even though it's actually quite busy, you can always kind of get a seat. There's always space for you.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many different restaurants in there.
Yeah, so I highly recommend it. I've been there twice now and really enjoyed it both times. Great little spot, especially in Shibuya. It can be quite difficult, especially on a Friday or Saturday, to get some seats at a restaurant. That place, I tend to find there's always some seats going. So check it out, Niku Yokucho. Second one is from Simon and Martina. They're big YouTubers living in Tokyo, friends of mine. I haven't seen them in a while, actually. Last time I saw them, we did a really awful live show on my channel, and I unlisted it, and we don't. I think we talked about it a long time ago this podcast, and best forgotten. Not because of Simon Martina, just because of the organisers that screwed it up. Anyway, Simon and Martina live in West Tokyo near a district called Kichijoji. It's a very kind of trendy district. Have you been there, Pete? Have you been to Kichijoji?
I don't think I have, actually, no.
But you're trendy. You're a trendy young man.
You'd think I'd get sucked in.
Have you not gone there? Exactly. But it's about 20 minutes from Shinjuku Station by train. It often wins awards for being the trendiest spot in Tokyo. It's often like top like 1, 2, 3 spots. But there's a place called Harmonica Alley, and it's just in front of Kichijoji Station. It's this little kind of conglomeration of old buildings and alleyways and bars. And I actually went there with Natsuki a few years ago. We made a video, really good video, that I forgot to edit, and I don't know where it is now. It's tucked away on a hard drive in the bottom of a cupboard, and I'll have to get around to editing it at some point. I always do that. Don't know why.
Are you very good at like naming your files properly? Because it's really hard to... There was a big furore in
Absolutely
the BBC this week because they edited Boris Johnson laying a wreath at the cenotaph, and they edited an old bit of footage into there. So people have gone wild about that. But I was thinking, I've worked in a radio station. I've worked in like a sort of newsroom, and these things happen all of the time. Boris Johnson, cenotaph.mp4, stick it in.
I mean, yeah, no, as someone who edits, I mean, I've edited like 200 videos. Yeah. And even now, after 7 years, I just have not learned how to manage everything.
No.
Like, I've just got a big hard drive covered in like MP4 files that are just not listed or anything. So
all of my files are called QWEF, QWEF. I just jam my hand onto the keyboard in the top left quadrant of just QWEF, QWEF, QWEF.
QWEF. Is that any secret code word? Is that literally just because you slam your hand down the keyboard?
Yeah. Well, so it's QWERTY. So QWE and then F on the second row. QWEF, 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 QWEF.
Brilliant.
So if you ever need, so you'll never find any files from me, mate, because they're all called QWEF. I just search by date these days.
QWEF aside, if you don't have to follow on from that. Kichijoji, though, if you want to go somewhere that's a little bit trendy, a little bit out of the way, there's not that many foreign tourists there, but it is kind of really cool. Check out Harmonica Alley. Google that, Kichijoji. I recommend it. Great place. Oh. I had a fantastic night out with Natsuki, and one day I will dig out those videos and I will make that video. Next one, number 3, and this is the one that was recommended the most on Twitter, and it is Yanaka Ginza Street. And basically, Yanaka Ginza, even though it's called Ginza, it's nowhere near Ginza. It's actually 2 stops north at Nippori Station, 2 stops north of Asakusa. Have you been there, Pete? Have you ever heard of Yanaka
Ginza? Yes, I think I have, actually. It's that it's got loads of great food places, but it looks like old Tokyo, doesn't it? It's very popular with tourists.
Yeah, lots of... I always find vloggers seem to go there. If you type in Yanaka Ginza into YouTube, I think every vlogger except me has been there and made a video. Though, I did go there to make a video once, the cat documentary, which I think we talked about before. There's a cemetery near Yanaka Ginza called Yanaka Cemetery. And apparently there's loads of feral cats. And I had to spend like 2 hours walking through the cemetery at like 9 o'clock in the morning for this documentary, just searching out feral cats to put in the documentary. It's such a surreal situation. But yeah, there's loads of cats around Yanaka. So if you like cats and you like 1950s retro style shopping streets and you like food, then it's a really good place to check out. Highly recommend it.
It's a beautiful cemetery as well. I think I've been to that same cemetery. I love a Japanese cemetery.
You've actually been?
Interesting. Yeah, I've actually been to that cemetery, I think. I remember walking through it.
What's your obsession with Japanese cemeteries?
Just look, I'm a chaos YouTuber. That's what I'm like, mate. I'm like, what's his name? Who had that fight with KSI?
Chaos YouTuber.
Yeah, just, you know, I just want to see death.
Oh God.
You know, put death in my videos.
Well, speaking of chaos, the next one is actually one that you recommended, Pete, and it is a bar, isn't it, in Shibuya?
Yes.
It's quite chaotic and loud. What is it?
Bar Rockaholic in Shibuya. It's a big old metal pub. Big metal rock bar. You can kind of request your own music. The drinks are great. The atmosphere is fantastic. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's packed. Every time I've went, I've had a lovely time. I've a red eye.
Yeah, we had a nice time there, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a bit of a
It seemed to be... Yeah, there was lots of viewers. I remember we took a lot of photos in there. But yeah, it was consistently good music playing, which is something I always look for, and something that's quite rare. So if you like music, and you like Shibuya, and you like drinks, Bar Rockaholic, it's what? It's about 5-10 minutes from the Scramble? Yeah. A little bit tricky to find. I don't know how you found it.
It is a little bit, yeah. Go down, but I think I just search for rock bars, because that's what I do when I go to a new town. I like indie bars. So, yeah, just walk down. They call it Basketball Street, don't they? Just keep walking until you get towards the entrance to what is almost Yoyogi Park.
There you go, Bar Rockaholic. Number five, another one that was recommended on Twitter. Now, I often talk about Odaiba being a good place to visit. It's kind of the futuristic island in Tokyo Bay. But Odaiba... And it's quite popular amongst tourists, but there's this place called Tokyo Joyopolis, and it's like an indoor theme park. And I walked past it for 3 years, and I often turn my nose up at it because indoor theme parks tend to be not that good. But then I went there on a date once and had the time of my life. That might be that's definitely a massive exaggeration. It wasn't the time of my life, but it was very good. There's indoor roller coasters. There's some of the best arcade games you can find in Tokyo. You've been there, right, Pete?
I went there a couple of times over the last 5 years, but I'm almost certain, Chris, I think this is the one on the list that certainly the arcade bit may have left us. There's the driving experience for the company. I can't remember which car company it is, but I'm fairly certain they might have closed it down, or maybe they were just refurbishing it when I was down last, but I did want to see. There's a big wheel. Have a go on the big wheel. That'd be fun.
There is a big wheel.
There is a big wheel. Beautiful big wheel. Beautiful big wheel.
No trip to Joyopolis would be complete without the wheel. But yeah, it's quite a fun place. On a rainy day, perfect spot to visit.
Well, they also closed down that... You know that arcade... I can't remember what it is now, but it's that arcade... Charlotte was talking about it online. I visited it a couple of trips ago. An arcade that is...
The warehouse, Kawasaki Warehouse?
Yes, it's like U Warehouse or something, isn't it? An afternoon or something or other, but it just shut down this week, which is very sad because it was a beautiful building, this massive arcade building with all kinds of awesome arcades, but it was like it was dressed up like that's Hong Kong
Kowloon Walled City
town. So very interesting. Beautiful.
I regret never going. I always wanted to go, but I just missed it. So idiot. I have a habit of like always trying to go somewhere and then just not going and then regretting it. And damn it, that's gone forever. Number six was recommended by Dogan, the YouTuber that you love dearly. You always talk about. Well, you seem to love him. He's good for learning Japanese, admittedly.
He's very good during disasters, it seems.
And yeah, he's very good when it comes to disasters. But he recommends Yokohama, and he's a big fan of Minato Mirai, which is the kind of futuristic district. And I'm reluctant to call Yokohama a kind of, hidden spot, because it's a massive city. But they've actually had problems recently of tourists going there but not actually staying the night, because most people stay in Tokyo, so they sort of go there, come back. But there's... And there's definitely loads of great places there. There's one of the most extensive bars with all the best cider in the Tokyo area. It's called Full Monty British Pub. And if you like cider, you've got to go there. Chinatown is really fun to walk around, eat and drink. And I sometimes do nighttime photography there. Highly recommend Chinatown. And again, there's another theme park, this time outdoors, called Yokohama Cosmo World. And they've got a few roller coasters. Again, I think I've had... like 3 or 4 dates there, go up the Ferris wheel, get a good view over Yokohama, and that's another good date spot. But I don't know what it is about theme parks being a good date spot, but have you been to Cosmo World? Have you been to Yokohama?
I've not been to Cosmo World, but I have been to Yokohama. I basically, I think I said before, filmed my own little version of the Manic Street Pictures video to Motorcycle Emptiness, so that's what I mainly did.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Number 7 is Shimo Kitazawa, which I think I've talked about numerous times, but there's a specific place in Shimo Kitazawa, and it's a place called Good Heavens Comedy Club. It's the only place that does English stand-up comedy in Tokyo every single week. 1,500 yen. You can go and watch your favourite act. Usually, like, foreign acts come from all around the world to visit this place. They've got a variety of imported beers, and for some reason, though all of my friends in Tokyo been there and love it and always tell me to go, I've never actually been. But that's, I felt incredible, like putting it on the list anyway, just because quite a lot of people recommended it and I've always been meaning to go.
Yeah, we should do it.
I will go one day.
We should do a football ramble. We've exhausted America. We should go to Japan and do one there.
Take the live show to Japan.
Yeah.
It would do pretty well, to be honest. You could combine your many fans from the Abroad Japan podcast with the Football Ramble fans.
We should do a show there. Yes!
He's sold out. Do it!
Yeah, you've got
next
to say
one's
yes
another
to
one
us.
In Shibuya.
Yeah.
And we've had quite a few in Shibuya. This one's Bagus. And I love this place just because it just is the weirdest sounding name, Bagus. It's a sports complex in Shibuya, about 2 minutes from Shibuya Scramble. But I always go there with like my friend Joey, the anime man. And they basically either have like billiards and darts and even a golf simulator, for whatever reason you like golf simulators. But like, good place for food and drinks. Good if you're doing a bar crawl and you want to go somewhere a bit more lively. Bagus. Bagus. Just remember the word Bagus.
It's such Bagus a weird everything. Name.
Yeah, I don't know where the word comes from. Certainly not a Japanese word. next one is a park. Now, obviously, everyone knows Yoyogi Park and Shibuya Park, but there's another park, super central, just outside of the Ginza shopping district near Yurakucho. And it's called Hibiya Park. Lovely little park. I always walk through there because I tend to stay in that area. I tend to stay at a place called Akasaka, which is not Asakusa, it's Akasaka, but it's near Hibiya Park. But it's a lovely place to walk through if you're passing through Ginza. But there's not that, I find there's never that many foreign tourists there. I find it's kind of one of the sort of kind of hidden or forgotten parks in the Tokyo area. But again, as I said earlier, when I did the cat documentary, I had to go through the bloody cemetery, Yanaka Cemetery, for 2 hours. And also in the documentary, I had to go through Hibiya Park for another 2 hours, also looking for feral cats, because they say there's loads of cats there. We did find a few, but admittedly, they are a bit of a rarity. But if you like cats,
you did your best.
And parks that no one knows about, be a park. I did my best. for the documentary, I went through it, and we did find a few, but it literally like took out like 2 hours walking around various ponds, and we found like two cats. I stroked them, we filmed it, and then we walked off. And ever since, I've never been able to find them. Don't know where they went. God, they're still alive. Number 10. quickly move on before we dwell into that. Number 10, Shinokubo, Korea Town. Mm. I think you've been here a few times, Pete. What do you think of Shinokubo?
Where's Shinokubo now? It sounds like somewhere I've been, but I can't...
Korea Town. It's like...
can't really place it, to be honest.
Three stops north of Shinjuku. Mm. It's just north of Shinjuku Station.
Maybe a...
But I'm
not sure I have, to be honest.
If you like Korean food...
Yeah.
Well, I'll take you there next time. There's a really good restaurant called Nandaemon Chicken. And for some reason, Koreans seem to be very good at doing fried chicken.
Yeah.
And we all know how I feel about fried chicken. But there's a really good restaurant, Nandaemon Chicken. Go there if you like chicken and cheese fondue. But Shinokubo in general, it's a great place to kind of escape what feels like Japan temporarily. Because you literally come out of Shinokubo Station and you just see Korean typography everywhere. There's lots of lights and neon, and you feel like you've temporarily left Japan and escaped to Korea. And it's also a really great spot for nighttime photography. A lot of friends of mine who do nighttime photography tend to end up there. So, yeah, Korea Town, Shinokubo, really close to Shinjuku, but a lot of people miss it out, sadly.
Oh.
The last one on the list is Kagurazaka in Iidabashi. I don't know if you've ever been there. Does that ring a bell, Kagurazaka?
Kagurazaka, no. Don't think I have, no.
Bit of a mouthful. Kagurazaka.
Kagurazaka.
Basically, it used to be near Edo, what was Edo Castle, like one of the main hearts, the beating heart of Tokyo. So they had a lot of entertainment industry there, lots of geisha and things like that. And there's still some geisha there today. But it's a really classy, but traditional neighbourhood. Lots of great little alleyways, lots of traditional houses. The restaurants there are a little bit pricey, like above what you would normally pay in somewhere like Ueno or Shinjuku. But the streets are just really beautiful. They've kind of managed to hold on to some sort of traditional kind of architecture there, which is always rare and nice in Tokyo. But it's a really nice place for a night out, really nice place to go for restaurants. And I've been there four times. I've been there about four times now, and I absolutely love it, and then for some reason, I just forget about it, and I don't go again. But I want to go there again. Highly recommend it. Kagurazaka, Iidabashi. Mm. Beautiful place for a night out. Kagurazaka.
Yeah, beautiful.
And those are my 11 spots. And I think I said 12 hidden spots at the start of this podcast, but it turns out it's actually 11.
Yeah,
because
I can't count. But I think you added in a couple. It was like a turducken. It was like an Inception kind of situation. In a couple of those, you added a couple more into there. So there you go. Tokyo Tower. There you go. Finished.
Tokyo Tower, yeah. It's hidden. Nobody knows where that is. 12 points. There you go. 12 hidden secret locations. Done. We've got two emails here. Mm-hmm. What we got, Pete?
Matt from England says, "Hi Chris and Pete, I've got to Japan next year in May and I'm currently going for a month by myself. Wow, so I'm wanting to get your options on whether you think hostels are a good option or stick to hotels. Love the YouTube channel, Chris. Keep up the fantastic content and keep doing you, Pete." Matt from England. Road.
Keep doing you, Pete. Hostels, Pete, how do you feel about them?
Get involved. They're always nicer than everywhere else in the world. So yeah, just get involved. At least you'll meet a few people, and as long as you can handle the loudness, just get a good set of earplugs and a sleep mask, and as long as you can manage your jet lag effectively, you should be all right.
Yeah, I think if I was to go back in time to my 20s, I would spend, if I was travelling around, hostels, really great place to meet people. You know, I've had so many great times. I've just gone to a city, gone to a hostel, made some friends, gone out and done karaoke. But now I'm nearly 30, and I'm really grumpy and old, I don't think it would really fit my personality. So for me personally, I would just stick to hotels. But if you are young, I don't think Matt specified his age. If you're a young lad, Matt, definitely stick with hostels. If you want to just meet people, great place to do that. And the last question we've got is from James from London. He says, "Hi, chaps. First of all, I just want to say I'm a huge fan of the podcast and the YouTube channel. I moved to London in April and found myself falling behind on the podcast. I currently work in a shop in Soho." That's where you are, Pete. It's just around the corner from you. "And during the summer, sometime, I remember looking out the window at work and seeing someone who I thought was Chris walking by." That's me. "I didn't think much of it because I thought, oh, he'd be in Japan. It wasn't him. I realised after catching up that you were in the UK, Chris, around that time. Could you please answer me this? What are the chances It could actually have been you, and did I miss my chance to run out of the shop and thank you for hours of entertainment? All the best, James from London. Yeah, it probably was me, because I was in Soho at least 25 times over summer, so... Yeah,
well, we were recording at Absolute, weren't we? So like you were in Soho, definitely.
Yeah,
I can confirm.
Oh, that's a shame. See, that's why you should never miss a podcast.
It's not interested in seeing me.
Yeah, if you want to see Pete, just
I live
just
in
walk
Soho.
Around the streets.
You might see me at any point during the day. Yeah, you might see me any. I'm leaving the house quite now. Literally... You might see me now.
Oh God. It's quite literally no escape from Pete,
no,
if you are in
exactly.
Soho.
But, you never know where
I'm there whenever I'm doing a podcast. But, the moral of the story is always listen to the podcast, otherwise you might miss out. Just think, if you had seen me run out the shop, you could have got a selfie. But now, you'll have to wait till Christmas, when I'm probably going to be back there again. But keep the stories, comments, questions coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Please don't send us spam. Please don't send us weird opportunities to join... some sort of old people's club with questionable motives, but do send us your stories, questions, comments. But for now, guys, as always, many thanks for listening to the Abroad in Japan podcast. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Sayonara.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.